patience. And one of the things about that is, it's like I was just studying it out. Well, just the Amplified version. Patience is just fruit of the Spirit, right? One of the fruit of the nine spirits. Patience is just basically what you do while you wait. Other versions may have long suffering. It's what you do while you're waiting on the promises of God. What are you doing? Are you panicking? Are you pacing back and forth? Are you, you know, you're overly excited or what have you? Are you overthinking? What are you doing while you're waiting on God? While you're waiting for these things to manifest in your life? What are you doing? Patience. Who can use a little patience? Not me, because I'm perfect. No, I'm slaying. No. It's downloaded. People can say, no, I don't have any patience. You do. You do. You do have. We all have patience. We all have patience. It's just you're going to get some opportunities to get some patience. I know growing up, I am so thankful that I don't have to drop my kids off at the middle school anymore. Decide those. There's a few times when I do that because I was coaching there. So I would be there early. We would have morning practices, but most of the time Kristen would drop them off. But if I have to, and I'm seeing a line, I'm waiting in the street, and I see the line go up and there's one car move up, and I'm like, oh, come on. Come on. You can literally get three people there and they can all walk out, three cars moving at the same time. What is going on? And Tessiah's like, Dad, you gotta be patient. I was like, I know, but they can just get out. I mean, get your bags ready and we're going to drop you off and go. I'll see you when you get home. They'll watch their kid walk in and stuff. And it's like, they're on a different level of patience. Lord, help me with that. So glad I don't have to deal with the school systems with that guy. Thank you for the teachers, man. Y'all got a lot of patience every day. 5 days a week? Somebody else's kids? Thank you for operating in grace. Y'all need a raise. Any teachers? Raise your hand. All your teachers out there. You're a teacher, Richard? Auto mechanics and stuff? That's not really a job. That's a hobby. That's a fun job, though. You get to work on cars? That's awesome. You love your work, don't you?
Yes, I do.
See? You love cars, man. That's something to do. That's a good thing. If you got your Bibles, open up to Numbers 23. The title of my message today is Promises, Promises. How many of you know that all of God's promises are yes and amen for those who are in Christ? Every single promise in the Bible that belongs to you are yes and amen for those who are in Christ. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Well, has he? From the beginning of time, he is time. Has he ever spoken anything and it did not come to pass? No. He's faithful. We'll put more trust in the newspaper and what it says. If you read newspaper, anybody still get the newspaper? We'll put more trust in that. Hey, there's a sale going on. Black Friday, right? Look at the sale. Every sale, we're going to get this, we're going to get this, we're going to stake this out, what have you. We're going to go. You don't even know if it's going to be there. They just advertised it. But we'll put more faith in that than we do God, who's from the beginning has never lied. The level of trust that believers should have with God should be through the roof. But sometimes circumstances, events, and problems arise, and it can seem like he may not be interested in what's going on in our life. I promise you, God hears, God sees, and God knows. And it can seem like he's not interested, but he cares about every little detail about your life. Every little thing that's going on in your life, he cares about. I just want us to get to the place, if you're not there, to go to him first. It's kind of like several weeks ago, I talked about where we were giving. My wife and I were giving. I said, but we were giving at the end. We don't have enough, but we started doing it from the beginning. Lord, this is yours. We're honoring you with this. Well, she was doing it first. I caught on later. It's just a perspective thing. Lord, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. I'm allowing you to multiply it. I'm honoring you. You are our source. It's not our job. You are. When we go to God first, all things are, he's going to work those things out in our life when we go to him. We'll go to other people. You have your great friends, your good friends and stuff and all that. That's great. You have a great circle. Awesome. But go to God first. See what he says first. And if those friends are actually listening to the Lord, they're going to be hitting on some of the things that the Lord has already spoken to you. Go to him first. He's not going to let you down. If you can believe that coming from me, then you should be able to believe his word and what it says. He has word when he says he has promised us. And has he not promised us and carried it through? Everything that God has spoken and what all the Old Testament prophets have shouted and declared in all of his glory, God has never failed. Every prophet that God had speak, that was from God. They spoke his truth. They spoke his word. And they paid dearly for it. But he still brought it to pass. There hasn't been a promise that has fallen to the ground unfulfilled in his presence. And there's still going to be some things that's going to be fulfilled later on. Because not every prophecy is fulfilled yet. And it's going to be fulfilled. In Genesis 9, it says, then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life. I don't know about you, but every single time it rains, I see that rainbow in the sky. That is what it's for. It's the covenant that God made with Noah and his family and all of mankind. That's a promise. He is never going to flood the earth again, even though you might see some floods in different cities. God said, I will never do that again. I'm not going to wipe mankind off. That is a covenant promise that he has given us. What he says matters in our daily life. Ezekiel talked about the presence of God and how it was like a rainbow. He didn't have anything else to compare it to, but that gives us a picture of what the glory of God is like. In Ezekiel 1, it says, all around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. When I saw it, I fell face down on the ground, and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. The rainbow is a promise made by God to Noah and his family. That event happened, and yet still thousands of years later, we have this glorious picture of God's faithfulness in the skies to remind us that he does not lie. God will never lie to you or never mislead you. Psalms 89, 33 through 35, it says, but I will never stop loving him nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. I have sworn an oath to David, and in my holiness, I cannot lie. See, God is always standing on his principles of his character and his nature in our relationship with him. He is not going to deviate from that. He is not going to change. God, will you lie for me? No. God is not going to lie for us. He's not going to change his word just because to make it fit your storyline with this other person here. He's not going to do that because he's too faithful. He can't. It's not in him to do evil. But what about his wrath? His wrath is even good because he gave people an opportunity to receive his son. People go to hell because they reject Jesus, not because God sent them there. He will not lie for us. He will not change for us. He will protect us because he loves us. When God takes an oath, he does not break his vow. God's gifts are true and holy. In James 1, 17 and 18, it says, every good gift, every gift God freely gives is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of his infallible word so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all his creation. God is perfect in every way. Every gift that he gives is perfect. He gives us the Holy Spirit. That's a perfect gift. He ain't going to change it on us. The 12 gifts of the Spirit, there's a good gift. Gifts of helps. Some of y'all have different types of gifts operating in your life. Those are good gifts. And they're for the body of Christ. They're to edify the body of Christ. It's to build up the body of Christ. There is no gift where God has called you to be a nuisance. That's our flesh. I can annoy my wife. That's not a gift. That's just my flesh. But she could be annoying too. Bagging on my shoes today. Said they were ashy. See, y'all don't hear that. She gives you little rabbit punches here and there. Y'all don't see that stuff. Now I got to change my shoes up. If men take the things of God and make them out to be sinful, then it was man's doing, not God's. God is the source of life. He is the source of truth, the source of good and perfect. If you are down and out about yourself, know this, that you are God's greatest creation. Not only the greatest, but his favorite of all, out of all of his creations. And yes, we have received this new birth from the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was God's way of delivering us from the evil in this world, including death, so that we might become the children of God. Promises of God. Here are some of the promises of God here in Luke 24. It says, now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. See, that's real power. When you get sent out, when people get equipped, you can't equip people and send them out without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You got a lot of Christians that don't, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. We don't necessarily, we've already been filled. And then when we accept, I said, you need to continue to be filled. He said, don't leave, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Why? Because what you got coming against you, some crazy stuff, you're going to need it. You're going to need that discernment. You're going to need that revelation of the word. You're going to need that power to overcome the enemy day in and day out, to sustain you. You're going to need it. And for us to reject it as a body of Christ is crazy. The Holy Spirit? I don't understand why tongues is an issue. If you don't understand it, get understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. It's in the Bible. You edify yourself. You build yourself up. Who wouldn't want that? Well, I built myself up already. Come on, Tim, you can do it. That's not building up. Inwardly, inwardly. You're praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. You can't get going around on an imaginary horse and just, come on, giddy up. Doesn't work. Because what you're getting ready to face is going to be something far greater than what the flesh can overcome. You can't overcome worldly things with worldly things. It's got to be with the spiritual things because the spiritual made the physical. You need the Holy Spirit. You need him in your life, in your everyday life. If you don't have a relationship with him, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ask and he will give it to you. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with the power that comes from heaven, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit is not based on your performance for God, but rather based on God's promise to each and every person that would believe in Jesus. So you don't have to worry about if you're not good enough. God is good all the time. Well, Lord, I'm just not good enough to receive. You weren't good enough to receive Jesus. But he's good. And that's what his blood was for. It was perfect. You cannot fully do God's work without the power of it, the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants you equipped to do his work every day, day in and day out. There's somebody suffering. There's somebody going through some stuff. There's someone who needs healing. There's someone who needs a word. There's someone who needs Jesus in their life. There's someone who needs the gospel. Every single day, you need the Holy Spirit. And every single day, you don't have to necessarily live for a miracle, but if you give somebody born again, that's a miracle within itself. That's one of the greatest miracles. You being translated, a person being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? That's the greatest miracle ever. And you need the Holy Spirit in order to do that. I don't need him. Yes, you do. We all do. Just like you fill your coffee mug in the morning, fill me, Holy Spirit, with your presence. Fill me. Fill your gas tank up, fill me. Get another refill on your drink. Lord, Holy Spirit, I said, you don't have to be all crazy and just be at the fountain, eyes rolling back in your dome and stuff. I said, Lord, just fill me. Anytime you're getting a fill up on something natural, get filled up on the Spirit. Feel me. This, sometimes I'll be walking around just praying in the Spirit, just under my breath. It's very rare if I'm not doing it. There's not a day that goes by that I don't pray in the Spirit. Not a day. Why? Because I need him. I need that guidance. I need his discernment. I need his leadership in my life. I need that. Because I can't do it without him. Promises. The world cannot do what Jesus has done because they do not have his power. Remember that. But you can if you only believe in his promises. In John 14, 15 through 17, it says, Jesus is saying, if you love me, obey my commandments and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So no matter when Jesus says we're going to have trouble in this world, he says not to fear for I've overcome this trouble. He's on our side. Jesus is on our side. The Holy Spirit is on our side. God is on our side. So whatever the enemy can throw at us, if you just can imagine, anybody remember those big old fat red wiffle ball bats, you know, those toys? And just imagine. Now, if you swing and miss, there's something wrong with your eyesight. I'm serious. There's something wrong. We used to play wiffle ball with the skinny bats, and then we just duct tape it to make it a big barrel. Oh, we had World Series wiffle ball tournaments all every summer. Awesome. I'm talking about we were the original Sandlot. But those big old red bats is what God has given you. And the enemy got this little old ball. Trouble coming your way. Every single time, you can take that out. Boom. Knock it out. Knock it out the park. Why? Because you're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of this world. There's nothing in this world that can destroy you. You can destroy yourself, but there's nothing in the world that can destroy you, that can take you out because you're protected. And when you're protected by God, who in their right mind? They're not in their right mind. Satan's crafty, but he's stupid. Because he decided to exalt his kingdom over God's. That's pride. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. God is the God of truth, and Jesus is the truth. Truth is the core of who God is, and he won't ever deviate from that. Everyone is born with that spirit that God has created. You're born with that or what have you, but when you come into the kingdom, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's an eternal spirit that lives with you forever. We are spirit beings. We possess a mind and we live in a body. We all have an earth suit. So in order for anybody to have any kind of power here on earth, you've got to have some of this right here. You have to have a physical body. And the enemy loves nothing more than to try to possess anyone with that body. But see, you already have the Holy Spirit working in you. He can't come and overpower you. He can't possess you. Christians cannot have demons if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You can be influenced by an evil spirit or your flesh, but you can't have a demon in you. Some people said, no, it's fine. It's like, come on now. You see why he says to his children, I will never leave you nor forsake you? That's another promise of God. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. So by faith, we have been made righteous. You have right standing with God. It's not your own righteousness, it's his. See why it's important to live by faith and not by sight or feelings and emotions. Every day is going to be different if we are living by our feelings and emotions. We live by faith. Lord, I know who you are. But I might be having some problem with me. That's all right. Come on. Get back into my word. Get back into my presence. We'll get you there. He said he'll never leave us. We can leave him, but he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Forsake basically means to quit on. God won't quit on you. So don't you quit on yourself. You hear a lot of people talking about what's June? Mental. Yeah. Mental health awareness and stuff like that and what have you. It's also Pride Month. Go figure. Here's the thing. Christ is the answer for every problem that we face in this life. His word. And your identity is right here in the word. Yours. Every born-again believer. It's not what the world says. It's not what Google says. It's not what AI, ChatGPT. Let me just get to something real quick. Y'all bear with me, please. Y'all know if you download ChatGPT, it will have a cloud on it if you download it before. What does that say on mine? It says get. Never downloaded it. You can see that on my iPad. You can see that on my other phone. I don't use ChatGPT for my messages. Use the word of God. Some people, I think it was, who was it? It's the guy you like, Jimmy Evans. He was talking about ChatGPT. It has some hallucinations. Hallucinations. ChatGPT will jack your stuff up. Just a little bit of error here, error there. It'll get you all confused, messed up. It's not accurate. You know what's accurate? The word of God. Every time. Like clockwork. Why? Because he cannot lie. God cannot lie. But we are made righteous in his eyes because of our faith in Jesus. And since we are righteous, we have peace with God. His wrath isn't on you because it was poured out on Jesus on the cross. God is not trying to go after you and get you and strike you down. And that's not him. That's not his character. That's not his nature. I feel sorry for those who choose to reject him, though. Let's get them born again. We should make it hard for people to go to hell. I know sometimes we may want to tell them that, but Jesus has reconciled us to God. In 2 Peter 3, it says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent, to have a changed mind. But the day of the Lord will come as an unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. God wants everyone to come to repentance. That's his heart. Everyone to have a changed mind. Everyone to come to repentance. That's his heart, but not everyone will. People will spend eternity in the lake of fire because of their decision, not because God sent them there. But all they have to do is just believe in the name of Jesus. Believe in the name which is above all names. Jesus is above ALS. Jesus is above IBS. Jesus is above cancer. Jesus is above death. Who's ever witnessed somebody being raised from the dead? Even if they were just gone for 10 minutes and just came back to life. Anybody in here? Raise your hand. You've been a witness to that? That's awesome. Doesn't have to stop there. But pastors, there's some people I don't want to come back. I believe God wants to do some great miracles through each and every one of you. Through everyone. But you don't know my past. Your past is gone. I don't know it, don't want to know it, so don't tell me about it. Because I'll preach on it. I can't help myself. That's why I try to stay away from people. I said sometimes it ends up in my mess. I'm like, doggone. I'd rather just sit in solitude. But God wants to do some extraordinary miracles through y'all. Everybody that comes to me, I said, what's going on? Why is Westview Church on fire? That's coming from heaven. Whew. Y'all got to read about Azusa if you never read about it. That's why it's important for us to live the life, our life, responsibly so that the world would know who we truly serve. Another promise of one of mine that I like is 1 Peter 5:7 says this, pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he will always tenderly cares for you. For he always tenderly cares for you. When you start to worry about things, you have to realize you are dishonoring God. Of who he is, what he knows, his character and his nature, when we start worrying about stuff, we begin to dishonor him because we're not fully trusting in him. Get back to that place to where you trust God, to where you're not wavering, to where that storm comes, you're asleep like Jesus. There's a storm out there. Why'd you wake me up? I was sleeping good. Y'all ever wake up a spouse and they just turn around like, that's never happened to me, never. You're sleeping good. And then you get woken up. Sound of thunder. Something may have fallen in your home. It alerts you. But any storm that comes your way, I just get to the place to where you have that peace, to where you can sleep through it and not even bother you. And then take that big old wiffle ball bat. See, when I bat, I'm really right-handed, but I like to bat left-handed. I'm a switch hitter when I play wiffle ball. Just wiffle ball. Not baseball, wiffle ball. Ozzie Smith was my favorite player growing up. So anything that kept you at night pacing and you're praying for, bring it to him. Come to the altar and bring it to God. God will cause all things to work together for good for those who love him and for those who are called according to his purpose. For those who need a miracle in your life right now. Stand on up and come on up. If you need a miracle, if you seriously need a miracle in your life, let's get an agreement right now. My faith is ready, but you got to get your faith ready. Whatever you've been crying about, whatever you've been talking about, whatever you've been avoiding, y'all can come on up to the altar and get prayed for right now. We'll bring some of the elders up and pray with you. Pray a prayer of faith over you. I guess everybody's perfect in here. That's good. That means I've been teaching well. Because you're applying what I'm teaching you. Because I don't teach y'all to be a punk. Allow situations just punk you. Come on. If Jesus has set you free, you are free indeed. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to tolerate or put up with what's keeping you down anymore. In Jeremiah 6, this is my last scripture for the day. It says this, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old, godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am lowly and gentle at heart, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. That's the old way. That's the best way. You will find rest for your souls. I like golf, but I'm going to tell you what. My soul does not rest after playing golf. But we came up on about 7 balls that day, the other day, playing with Isaiah. We were looking for one, we found 5. But my soul does not rest. My soul only rests when I'm in the presence of God. When I'm with Jesus, when I'm reading his word, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. That's the old way. And that will always be the best way. You can't fill your life with other things and thinking that you're going to be at peace. And if there's any evil spirit that is upon you, any spiritual attack that's coming against anyone that keeps you from getting into the presence, we break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Because attacks from the enemy will keep you from reading the word, keep you from praying. We break that off right now in the name of Jesus. God would not give you any power over the enemy if he didn't want you to use it. Take that big old red wiffle ball bat and kill it. Knock it out the park. Because anything that the enemy comes to give you and to come to bring into your life, you have authority over. Every day. It does not stop. So when you fill up your drinks, your coffee mugs, your glasses, your cups, whatever, just say, Holy Spirit, fill me. But what if it overflows? That's what it's supposed to do, to spill out on other people. You won't be walking around on fumes. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for our lives that are centered around you, Lord. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for just being in our daily lives, that we can draw on you. We can receive revelation from you of his word, Lord. And we thank you that you have given us power from heaven, that resurrection power living on the inside of us to do what you've called us to do, Lord. And we will do it boldly, and we will do it unapologetically, Lord. We thank you for that. Help us to walk into our purpose, divine purpose that you have given us. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And we just pray for those who are struggling right now, Lord, that are not here, that you give them peace. Peace of mind, peace in their hearts, and peace in when they're making those decisions that are tough for their families. We thank you that you are guiding them every step of the way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.